Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Big breakthrough happening in Switzerland this week. After 10 years of toil, 8 deaths, and enough rock removed to build a small planet, the world's longest railway tunnel is taking shape. We'll hear more about the massive Gotthard project later as Swiss Info goes inside. Also on this week's show, UBS comes clean, the future of Swiss soccer looks murky, and how pee could help poor farmers. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville in Bern. An interesting experiment is taking place at one of Switzerland's most famous landmarks, the spectacular Château de Chillon on Lake Geneva. The castle sits in the heart of the country's Lavaux wine-growing region, on a small island perched in the lake, which, it turns out, could offer a superb place to store a delicate white wine called Chasselas that's very difficult to age well. Daniel Defoe, president of the Swiss Wine Society, said workers on October 12th dangled 400 bottles of the wine down an underwater cliff off the castle.
We're putting these bottles into the water to be able to better understand Chasselas, specifically its ability to age in the bottle. So we wanted to create the best storage conditions possible. That's no light, maximum humidity, and regular temperature.
Another 400 bottles of the wine are being stored conventionally in a nearby cellar. Dufault says they'll bring up a few bottles from the depths each year, taste them, and run tests. He says using the lake was simply a cheap way to create conditions that could be costly to maintain in a lab. Speaking of water, in this case passing it, scientists at Switzerland's Federal Institute of Aquatic Science and Technology announced on October 14th they'll receive a $3 million grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to improve sanitation in poor regions by recycling, well, urine. The institute is joining forces with a South African university and the Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich to find ways of using special toilets to separate urine, which contains nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, chemicals that make for great fertilizer. Kai Udert is leading the project.
So we actually treat the urine. We extract the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium in the powder form, and later we actually want to use this to maybe to sell it as a fertilizer. And by that, we could actually build up a small business. So the idea is that someone actually will collect the urine, will produce a fertilizer out of it, and then later sell it, maybe get some money out of it.
Money, and massive amounts of it, whether winning it or losing it, goes hand in hand with big bank UBS. Management has had a rocky relationship with its shareholders and indeed society after the bank lost billions in the financial meltdown, had to be bailed out with public money, and then fell into a potentially devastating legal battle with the United States. On October 14th, the bank's executives held a meeting to discuss the events. Swiss Info's business correspondent Matthew Allen was there. Earlier, he joined me on the phone from Zurich, and I began by asking him what happened.
Well, in actual fact, two things happened. The first Thursday is the deadline for shareholders to sue former UBS bosses for damages. And actually, no interest was shown for suing them for their actions of 2008 and 2009. And then UBS also issued a transparency report. It had actually been ordered to issue this by the Swiss authorities to explain to shareholders what had happened. And although they accepted that the bank had had failings in the past, they continued to defend their decision taken in December of last year not to file civil claims for damages against ex-chairman Marcel Ospel or other former executives.
Now, they were ordered to do this transparency report. Exactly how transparent was it?
Well, in actual fact, a lot of it just repeated what they've been saying in the last couple of years. They said, yes, they'd made a lot of mistakes. They hadn't had the right controls. The compensation practices had led to risks. That the whole atmosphere of the bank was wrong and the strategy was wrong. And they admitted that, and they've admitted that in the past. But they tried to go into some details, but they were restricted because if they gave too much away, then they feared that that might lead to help civil actions that might be brewing in the United States.
Matthew Allen, Swiss Info's business correspondent in Zurich. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tim Neville.
Coming up, we'll go deep into the ground where workers are digging the final few meters of the Gotthard Tunnel and what will be the world's longest of its kind. But first, the CMJ Music Marathon is about to kick off in New York City on October 19th. That's when more than 1,200 live performances unfold across more than 75 venues for 5 non-stop days of music. This year will feature the first two Swiss acts ever to make it to the festival, a group called Stevens from Geneva that was formed in 2003, and singer-songwriter Mark Kelly, who is also a general lunatic, or so it says on his website. Here's the track Let Me Hide of Stevens' January 2010 album, Fake.
The ones you have when all the good is a lie. Let me hide.
You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly news roundup.
Switzerland's had a rough go in the first part of the qualifying rounds of the Euro 2012 soccer tournament. So much so that the team's star player, Alex Frey, was booed off the field October 12 during a match against Wales. Swiss Info's Thomas Stevens covers the team for us. He explains where the Swiss stand.
The Swiss are currently third in a group of five. It's headed by Montenegro, improbably. They're on 10 points after 4 matches. Then you've got England, who are on 7 after 3. And Switzerland, who, having played 3 matches, have got 3 points, which is certainly something they wouldn't have expected. They would have expected more than that. Basically, to have a chance of qualifying, Switzerland need to end in the top 2. Assuming that England are going to win the group, Switzerland are going to have to finish ahead of Montenegro. Each group, there's always a very strong team, and there's always usually somewhere a whipping boy, whether that's Andorra, San Marino, Liechtenstein, and so on. In Switzerland's group, Group G, that team is probably, on paper, Wales. However, after 2 matches and 2 losses, Switzerland was in danger of becoming Group G's whipping boy. They've slightly changed that round, and they've now played 3 of 8 matches. That's it for this year. The remaining 5 will be played next year between March and October, so it's going to be a long, sweaty winter for Swiss fans, and yeah, it's going to be close, to be honest. If I was a betting man, I might have to put my money on Montenegro, which is, I never thought I'd say that.
So what do they have to do then? They have to come out into this next section and just win all of their matches?
Not all of them. I mean, the maths does depend to a large extent on what happens in between the other teams, Montenegro, for example. Switzerland, without a doubt, is going to have to start scoring more goals, winning more matches, but they're also going to have to hope that Montenegro slip up along the way. It's possible, mathematically possible, but it's going to be close.
After 10 years of digging, workers on the Gotthard Base Tunnel were just about to make a dramatic breakthrough when Swiss Info's Luigi Giorgio went to go get a first-hand look at what will be the longest railway tunnel in the world. Giorgio has been blogging about his time with the miners, not looking for facts and figures, but rather to see what life is like during a massive undertaking so deep down. He starts on October 11th, with 4 days to go.
It seems the village is still asleep when I arrive in Fido. Slowly, the lights go on in the containers the miners call home. I check in at the reception. I'm nervous. During the most intense and busiest week for the miners, I'm prepared to be given the cold shoulder. But I'm given a friendly reception at the office, and I'm comforted by the warm greetings and smiles from miners in the canteen. October 12th, 3 days to go. Until a few days ago, workers were removing rock at a rapid pace. They were afraid they wouldn't make the breakthrough in time. Now people are hoping that the last part of the tunnel won't cave in. In all, 26 million tons of rock have been excavated. That's enough to build 5 Giza pyramids. Now, only 1.8 meters separate the Fayado miners from their colleagues on the other side in Sedrun. It's a stereotype that miners are rough, introverted types who don't enjoy company. An Italian mechanic brings me some spirits after lunch. He can't wait for the festivities. Not because of history. He's impatient for the feast. October 13th, 2 days to go. 6,500 francs a month, a secure job, and a great relationship with colleagues. What's the catch? The darkness. Douglas, a Venetian, is not made to stay underground. There's not much air. The noise is continuous, and you must always be alert. Inattention or fate can play cruel tricks. But above all, there's no sunlight. In winter, people on the day shifts don't see the light for days. Douglas goes crazy. Ruin your health at the age of 25? Not a chance. When he earns enough money to build a house, he'll get a normal job. He won't attend the celebration on Friday. Tomorrow he's off for 5 days. He prefers to return to his wife and son. The party is in the tunnel too, and who wants to go there in their free time? Others will never go back. The youngest was just 23 years old, a guy named Salvatore. He met his fate in the tunnel on January 21, 2005, a cruel and cynical day. Andrea went next, followed by six more. Their photographs will be the first to cross the threshold during the final breakthrough. It's not just engineers and politicians who are awaiting the completion of the Gotthard Base Tunnel. Some of the residents of Faido Palmengo are eager to see the end too. The grinding of gravel isn't loud, but after a while it can be pretty annoying. Just like the dust and the constant noise of the machines. There's a sign in the garden of one house, for sale. Just a few meters away, noise protection walls threaten to choke the house. But as an old man tells me, the situation has improved. He says not every Faido resident was happy to get a party invitation, but he plans to go. The noise was never a problem for him. He has insomnia. October 14th, 1 day to go. Some of the workers are born miners. Some miners are made. None are in it for the glory. They think about friends who've died, their homes and families, so far away from the black hole under the ground. There's less than 24 hours to go until the big event. The atmosphere on the construction site itself is more relaxed. No crowds, no stress. Two workers are happily piling their luggage into a car. Destination? Germany. There's no work tomorrow. For me, I'll board a massive elevator and drop 800 meters into history.
At 2:17 p.m. on October 15th, a massive boring machine broke through the last remaining bit of rock. It'll be 7 more years before the first trains can use it. That's all for this week's show. To learn more about the stories you've heard here, or to follow Luigi's blog, head to swissinfo.ch. Here's Dame Joan Sutherland, one of the most celebrated opera singers of all time. She died on October 11th in Geneva at age 83. Tune in next week. I'm Tim Neville.